Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, I did.
Dr. Alfie Wines coming at you with your Monday morning mastermind broadcast from the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Glad to be with you on this morning. Hope you enjoyed the break last week. If you'll hold on just for a moment.
Okay, I did. Thank you.
feel a breakthrough coming your way. It's a mighty move of God. It's gonna change your day. Signs and wonders, miracles to perform. God is gonna bless you for just holding on. Just
please forgive me. I had to get that frog out of my throat this morning. Just wanting to let you know we are here to share your Monday morning with you. Monday morning is such an important day of the week. Monday is the time that we are coming off the weekend and getting the week started. And, you know, the how we start our day, how we start our week, how we start our month, our year, all of that is important. And how we get started, because how we get started influences, of course, the rest of the day or the rest of the week or, you know, whatever lies ahead. And so we are just glad on this Monday morning to be with you and to share in the broadcast with you on this morning. This is Dr. Alfie Wines, Living Water, Drinking Deeply, and we are here to encourage compassionate living through a deeper understanding of the biblical text. I want you to know that my heart is excited, my soul is delighted, and my spirit is ignited to be with you on this Monday morning. I hope you enjoy Monday mornings as much as I do. They are such a wonderful opportunity. Of course, every day is like this, but Monday has a special slice of it, a special, there's a uniqueness about it because there's a whole week that lies ahead, and I hope that you will have a wonderful, wonderful week, but I want to help you get it started, help you get your Monday started, your morning started, your week started, the rest of your month started, the rest of the year, the rest of your life off on a very good foot. We are in the process of talking about taking back our lives. Sometimes we find ourselves in situations where we have had losses or major changes in our lives, and they just, you know, we have to stop sometimes and just give ourselves a chance to think, give ourselves a chance to recollect. And this process is not necessarily easy. It is not necessarily quick. You know, we live in a day and a time when we want instant everything, whether it's coffee or dinner cooked in the microwave or getting on our technology devices, on our mobile devices and so forth. You know, we want everything in an instant. We want everything quick. But I want to suggest that life is a process. And when we are dealing with these things, we need to stop and slow down, catch our breath, figure out what's going on, and regroup and move ourselves in a new direction. So this morning, we want to talk a little bit about creating a new future story. Now, of course, this is part of our series on Take Back Your Life. It's actually the last piece of it. We have been talking about various aspects of dealing with these types of times in our lives. They are actually times of transition. I call them the moments of divine discontent, moments when we know we, you know, we can't go back to where we were, and yet haven't figured out perhaps all of where we're going and what the future will look like and what we need to do. And so we're just kind of there in the middle somewhere, and we may be even stuck in where we are. And of course, I want to help us move out of that so that no one stays stuck in a place for very long. And when we learn this process, we don't have to stay there and just kind of stew in it for weeks or months or years. It can help us move forward. And so we have been talking, of course, about taking back our lives. Just want to let you know that, remind us of some of the things that we have been talking about. We've been talking about forgiveness and lament, and we talked about imprecatory psalms. You may remember that one on Psalm 109, which was a very important psalm to me at one time when I needed to kind of get a grip on some things in my own life, and was surprised to find that the scripture had those kind of psalms in it where somebody was wishing something bad on someone else, and yet those words are right there in the scripture. And at the time, it was a surprise to me to find those kinds of words there. So we talked about the imprecatory psalm, and we talked about looking for the blessing in the midst of the trouble, in the midst of the trial. I talked a little bit about Saul's grandson, who was Mephibosheth, and how it is that even though he was in a bad place, even though he was had been disabled, even though all those things had gone wrong in his life, when David was looking for someone to bless, he went looking for Saul's family, and it turned out that the person that was left was Mephibosheth. Of course, he was keeping a promise he had made to his friend Jonathan, who was Saul's son. So he was keeping a promise and doing what he said he would do. And of course, Mephibosheth was able to call to live and be part of the king's household, and he was part of the people who sat at the king's table. And so who he was did not change because he was in a difficult situation. And so we talked a little bit about that, about how it's important to remember who we are, even when we're in difficult situations or even when we're making transitions in our lives, and remember that who we are. And who are we? We are all beloved children, all beloved sons and daughters of God. So even when we're in those difficult places, it helps if we look not only for the lesson, but also for the blessing, and be reminded of who we are. We talked for the last 4 weeks on dealing with spiritual crisis, and we talked about that from various perspectives of the various characters in the book of Job, and found out that in this, in the various characters, there are examples of various ways of dealing with spiritual crisis. Of course, Job, and we'll come back to him in a moment, was the one who, even though he went deep into how he felt, including wishing for death, even though he went deep into his feelings, he came out of this crisis in part because he was able to be so upfront and honest with himself, with God, and with himself, with God, as well as with his friends. So we talked about that. And so his perspective was to stick with God, to stay with God, to complain, but never to lose sight of his connection to God, even when it might have been a little shaky, but he was still confident enough to talk to God in the midst of his crisis. The friends, of course, were people who advised Job to seek God. At least they could see a future possibility. But they were convinced, of course, that Job had done something wrong, and of course he did not. By expressing his feelings, he certainly had not done something wrong, but he knew how to do it by doing in God's presence, and so that made all the difference. We talked about Job's wife and how it is that she had just given up in this spiritual crisis, and she wanted Job to do the same, and of course we know that is not the way that we should respond in times of spiritual crisis. But if we can just hold on a little while longer, as the scripture says, we know that everything will be all right. I am reminded of Judas and how it is that he lost hope, and so he took his own life. And yet, I'm convinced that if he had been able to just hold on just a little while longer. If he'd been able to do what Job did and go deep into his feelings, if he had been able to do what Peter did and weep about it, if he had been able to just hang in there 3 days like the rest of the disciples did, his life too certainly would have been changed. Sometimes I imagine and I think that he and Jesus would have had a conversation similar to the conversation that Peter had with Jesus, of course, after the resurrection when Jesus was recommissioning him. So the words this morning, and excuse me for that, but the word this morning is to remind us to hang in there, to hold on to our relationship with God, to be honest with God and honest with others and honest with ourselves. And also the other character in the story was Elihu, who was not among the friends group, but apparently was there listening all along. And his take on it was, well, there has to be a lesson here. And that was a little bit better than friends, but he missed it too, because there's more than a lesson. It was a renewal of relationship, renewal of all of Job's relationships. And so this morning I want to read a little bit from the last chapter of Job, and I want to start at verse 7. He has already made his confession, and if you'll give me just a second, just a moment.
Okay, I did.
Sorry about that. At any rate, I want to, read the scripture this morning. Job has already made his confession. We've already talked about how it is that it's not a repentance in the way that we think of repentance, of having done something wrong, for it's clear from the very beginning of the book, in God's comments about Job, that Job is a righteous person and who seeks to do good and seeks to avoid evil and even would make sacrifices for his children just in case they had done something wrong. So he certainly was a person who is an example of someone who was doing everything that he could to live uprightly, to live a righteous life. And then also at the end, of course, we'll see that God again affirms that Job has not done anything wrong by expressing his feelings. But actually, it was the friends who were mistaken because they did not understand that Job had done nothing wrong. So in verse 41 through 6, which I'm not going to read, that covers the conversation, the last conversation between God and Job when Job begins to come to terms with all that has happened. But I want to read from verse 7 up to the end of the chapter. And it came about after the Lord had spoken these words to Job, that the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is kindled because you have not spoken of me what is right as my servant Job has. Now, therefore, take for yourselves 7 bulls and 7 rams and go to my servant Job and offer up a burnt offering for yourselves, and my servant Job will pray for you. For I will accept him so that I may not do with you according to your folly, because you have not spoken of me what is right as my servant Job has. So Eliphaz the Temanite and Bildad the Shuhite and Zophar the Naamathite went and did as the Lord told them, and the Lord accepted Job. And then the final verses, starting in verse 10, and the Lord restored the fortunes of Job when he prayed for his friends, And the Lord increased all that Job had twofold. Then all his brothers and his sisters and all who had known him before came to him, and they ate bread with him in his house. And they consoled him and comforted him for all the evil the Lord had brought on him. And each one gave him a piece of money, and each a ring of gold. And the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning. And he had 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 female donkeys. And he had 7 sons and 3 daughters. And he named his first Jemima. That's very interesting comment on that. Okay, all right, Jemima, and the second, Keziah, and the third, Keren-Hapuk. And all the land, no women were found as fair as Job's daughters, and their father gave them inheritance among their brothers. And after this, Job lived 140 years, and saw his sons and his grandsons 4 generations, and Job died an old man full of days. And so that's how the story ends. And, you know, we love for stories to have what we would call a happy ending. And certainly there is a lot of joy for Job in this ending. Of course, now, let us not forget his experiences have been his experiences. His losses are still a part of his life. He has had the loss of health. He has had the loss of his entire household. He has had a huge disagreement with his wife. He has experienced the loss of his children all at one time, the 7 sons and the 3 daughters. He has experienced difficulty in his relationship with his friends, who did not understand at all what was going on in his life, even though he repeatedly told them. They just weren't listening. They just didn't get it. Even though Elihu came on the scene and tried to wrap things up, and even he did not get it. So all of those experiences are still part of his story. All of his issues, all of his questions, those are still a part of his story. But what's different, what has happened that enables him to move forward? One of the things I want to suggest is that he has absolutely come to terms with all that has happened. That is why he is able to, and again, it's a poor translation, but I'm going to use the word that's in a lot of translations, but remember, it's not repent the same way we think of it, because he has done nothing wrong. I like to say he has come to terms with all that has gone on in his life. He has come to the reality that troubles are part of life, even when we do our very, very best. At some point, we are going to encounter some kind of trouble. It is just part of life. Now, I know you wish it were not true. I wish it were not true. I'm sure there are many of us that wish that that were not true. It is that it is, and we, of course, have to learn how to deal with it. So, once he has come to terms with what has gone on in his life, with who God is, with how life is, he is now in a position to be able to take back his life and create that new future story for himself. Now, I want you to notice that the very first thing he does is he comes to terms with the relationship with the friends, and he makes sacrifice for them just as God commanded him to do. So what does that represent? That represents healing the hurt in the relationships, the very relationships that created the difficulty and the hurt in the first place. The first place that he has to reconnect is with the very friends who talked about him so badly, who insulted him so much, he has to come to terms and reconcile that relationship just as God tells him to in the process of bringing healing for them and for their lives, making the sacrifice and praying for them. So he goes back and he makes that relationship right. And then in addition to that, he goes back and he makes things right with his family. Notice that his brothers and his sisters are the next ones that are named. And so that represents those family relationships that we might need to go back and bring healing and wholeness in those relationships, bring in forgiveness in those relationships, remembering that, please excuse me, forgiveness may mean that things are wonderful and we move forward, and then sometimes forgiveness may mean that we have to love people from afar. That's not what this session is about, but I just want to remind us of that because sometimes we forget and misunderstand what forgiveness is all about. But at any rate, he comes to terms not only with relationship with the friends who hurt him, he comes to terms with relationship with his family, his brothers and sisters, and then the scripture says, and all who had known him before. So what does that represent? That represents what we would say is, we might call it reconciliation or reconnecting. Sometimes it's not even an issue. Sometimes it's just a matter of reconnecting. And so he's doing that not only with the friends, not only with the family, but also we might say with his entire community, reconnecting with all of the people in his life. And then we are told that the people in his life bless him. You know, we cannot make it through this life all by ourselves. We all need one another. And I know we live in an individualistic society that tries to convince us that we can do it all by ourselves, but I want to suggest that that is not true, that we have to understand that we are need each other. We need relationship with each other. We need close friendships. We need family. And we need community, just like Job did. Close relationships, like his friends and family, like his brothers and sisters, and then an entire community of relationships. And so we need all of those relationships, and we need all of them to be positive relationships, relationships where we can give and receive, blessing our lives as well as blessing the lives of one another. And so now he has come and reconnected with everyone in his life, and then we see the listing of the blessings, not only the restoration of the household, of all that he has, but also he has a new family. The scripture does not tell us. I imagine, we can imagine, some people will say that this is a new wife, because of what has gone on, and perhaps the first wife went on her way, but I want to suggest that it's also possible that there was reconciliation between them as well. So we have this wonderful story, this wonderful example of bringing it all together, and I want to suggest that when we are creating that new future story, not only do we need to think about all of these relationships, but we need to think about those desires that are in our hearts. What are those things that we really want out of life? You know, I'm sure good relationships is part of it. A work of some sort, whether it's volunteer or whether it's, you know, a career. We want to have that established for us. We want to have good relationships. Of course, we want our relationship with God established. And, of course, that was the first one that Job reconnected with, was God. And so we have to go back and figure out what it is in our lives that we really want and move forward working on that. Now, I know that life is a lot of work. I know that sometimes it's more work than we might even want to engage in, but I want to suggest that our lives will be blessed. And not only will our lives be blessed, but the lives of people around us will be blessed and even beyond. And we can do that. It is worth the trouble to reconcile in all those places in our lives, to find out what the next steps are. And I want to suggest that we can only do that when we are paying attention to what's going on in our spirits, to go what desires God has given us. After all, Scripture tells us God is the one who gives us those desires to do wonderful things in the first place. So once we have gone through this process of forgiveness and lamenting and looking for the blessing and dealing with the spiritual crisis, then that releases the energy that we need to be able to spend on those things we want in our lives. And as we come to the end of the broadcast this morning, I want to remind you that God loves you more than you could ever imagine, that God wants good things for you more than you want them for yourself, and that God loves you so much it will take you, God, an entire eternity to share all of that wonderful love with you. If by chance you want to connect with us through the week and after the broadcast, I invite you to probably the easiest place is on my Facebook page, which is Alfie, A-L-F-I-E, Wines, W-I-N-E-S. But I have several Facebook pages. You might also find me on Living Water, Drinking Deeply. You might also find me on Gospel Jazz. Either one of those will be a place where you and I can connect through the week. So God's best to you. Have a great week, and we'll talk next week.
Okay, I did.
A move of God is on the way. A move of God is on the way.